Dear congregation, when eternity breaks in upon us, some of the things that we thought of as being the best, they will be shown to be the worst. And some of the things that seem to us the worst will be shown to have been the best. You see, a teenager doesn't care much for his mother's warnings. He or she thinks his parents are killjoys, miserable, depressing. But when he or she lies in a hospital bed, their limbs in a cast with tubes all around them, and the worried looks of doctors and surgeons all around fighting for their lives, they will have wished that they could still hear and heed their mother's warnings. And they see too late that what seemed to them to be miserable was actually merciful. This morning, congregation, we heard how the alarm of the Lord to unconverted sinners. And behind that uncovering, warning alarm of the Lord, there is mercy. And that mercy of the Lord appeared, first of all, in the fact that he, despite everything, still speaks to sinners. He still speaks to sinners, despite everything. And he, even as we saw, he still holds sinners in his mouth. Remarkable, isn't it? "Lest I spew thee out," he says. Meaning he has sinners in a certain sense in his mouth. He tastes and he warns. As we hope to hear this evening, with the help of the Lord, he still counsels sinners. He still counsels sinners. Sinners who are on their way to hell. He speaks to them. As we hear in the words of our text, which you can find in Revelation 3, verse 18. Revelation 3, and verse 18. Let me read from 14 to 18 just so we have the context once again. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Thus far the words of our text. Looking to the Lord, let's hear Christ's counsel to sinners. Christ's counsel to sinners. First, regarding riches. Secondly, regarding clothing. Thirdly, regarding eye salve. Christ's counsel to sinners. Regarding riches, regarding clothing, regarding eye salve. Remarkable words, wouldn't you say? "I counsel thee." There are people who believe that the Lord has nothing to say to sinners save condemnation, law, and death. They tell us that if we so much as hint at mercy for sinners in their sin, we are more liberal than the Lord. And we're speaking peace where there is no peace. The truth, congregation, is this: that the Bible and the Spirit of God and Christ himself speaks to sinners, yes, of law, and yes, of death, and yes, of condemnation. But also, in addition to this, he speaks of mercy. He speaks of grace. He speaks of the kindness that lies in his heart. Some, like the elder brother in the parable, they do not understand how the father could run from out of his own house towards the stench-filled air surrounding a prodigal brother, and how God the Father could embrace no less than a swine of a son and call for a feast of fat things. Come, let us make merry. For one who has spent his father's living with harlots and spat upon his very father. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself was so very different. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And so in our text he comes and he says to sinners, I counsel thee. I have a word for you. I have a counsel for you. One preacher says, though he might command, yet he advises those who are in their own estimation supplied with everything. He comes and he says, I have advice for you. I have counsel for you. Well, congregation, do you hear the voice of the friend of sinners? The friend of sinners, so ready to give rebellious sinners what they don't deserve, what they've long despised, what they've closed their ears to. He gives them counsel, counsel which you, sinner, here tonight, you need so very desperately and so sorely. You see, when you're in trouble, you need counsel, don't you? When you're in legal trouble, you need legal counsel. When you're in financial trouble, you need financial counsel. When you're in spiritual trouble, you need spiritual counsel. Will you lean on the foolishness of this world? Oh, it can't help you. You need wisdom itself. You need the Lord himself. And when you're in deadly trouble, you need life-giving counsel. Well, shall we not, congregation, tonight hear the counsel of one whom the Bible calls a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace? Oh, what counsel lies before us today. Do you need counsel? Are you here today needing counsel? Whether you feel you need it or not, you need it. And this counsel tonight, congregation, is the best imaginable. There is no better counsel for sinners. So hear the Lord's own counsel. The counsel of the Amen, his gracious counsel. He is indeed the faithful and true witness. He is the beginning of the creation of God. Every word he speaks is real and true. His word brought this world into being. He cannot lie. Counsel tonight he gives to sinners, to rebels, to enemies. He stoops so low as to come next to, in front of an enemy and say, I counsel thee. I have counsel for you. You who tonight have shoved not just your parents' counsel, not just your elders' counsel, but God's counsel, you've shoved it aside. You've trampled it underfoot. You've trampled God's counsel that he's mercifully given you days without number. You've mocked it. You've turned aside from it. You've listened to the counsel of Satan and the counsel of wicked friends, to the counsel of your own heart. God in Christ comes before you and he counsels still. I counsel you, sinner. I counsel. Well, what is his counsel? You want to hear his counsel? I counsel thee to buy gold. That's what he says, buy gold. Why? Well, remember, verse 17, you know not that you are poor. Oh, you're so utterly poor, sinner, and you can buy gold. Did you know that? What kind of gold? Gold tried in the fire, the best kind of gold. And where can you buy this gold? Buy of me, he says. And to what purpose? Whereunto should I buy this gold? Buy gold of me, gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. Oh, congregation, do you hear how this counselor this evening is himself so very rich? He has gold, and he gives gold at bargain prices. He is the best of gold. He calls it gold tried in the fire. There's no dross in it. It is perfect. It is spotless. And he counsels sinners to come and buy gold. Imagine that. No one who comes is turned away. The poorest is welcome. In fact, the poorest is best. There's so much gold with this counselor. But of course you say, but I have nothing to buy it with. Gold is expensive. Gold is costly. How can I afford this gold? Oh, my friend, don't you remember that verse? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. And so too here, you have no money, good. Come, buy gold from this counselor. You see, this gold cannot be purchased with any human price. Let your money perish with you, Peter says to Simon Magus. Let your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. It can't be purchased with money, nor anything from our side. It was purchased by Christ. It was bought with that precious blood of the Lamb of God. He bought it. He paid the price. And he gives it freely to sinners. But my friend, only confess thine iniquity. Bring your sins. Trade. Make this holy trade where you give your sins and he gives you gold. Amazing, isn't it? It's only God who would do that. Bring your evil heart and trade it. O Israel, thou art fallen by thine iniquity. Only confess thy sins. Bring your debts. Bring your red-stained list of the handwriting of ordinances which is against you. And buy freely, without money and without price, gold tried in the fire. This counselor promises to give gold without money and without price. What is this gold? Well, there's so much gold. There's pardon for sins. That's gold, isn't it? If a man has that, what more does he long for? And there's peace with God through Jesus Christ. There's righteousness through Jesus Christ in heaven. My righteousness is in heaven, Bunyan heard. And that was it. It's with God. It's in Christ. It's for sinners. There's adoption. There's an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for sinners. There's so many rich coins of mercy, all bound up with Christ. If Eliezer could come to the distant country and open the treasure chest he brought with him and dangle things like nose rings and all sorts of jewelry before Rebekah and say, "Wilt thou go with this man?" Or how much more should not we heed this rich counselor who says, "Buy of me gold tried in the fire." Oh, my friend, if the people in Egypt were told to go to Joseph with all their emptiness, with all their lack, and see Joseph laid upon them grain, should you then not come to this greater than Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only gives you food for your bodies, but gives you gold tried in the fire? Come then with all your emptiness, with all your lack, and receive everything from his hand. But come as a beggar. He turns away those who seek to pay for these riches. No matter what it is that they try to bring, some law keeping, some church attendance, some resolutions for the future. He can't, he won't accept all this, any of this. We cannot add one stitch to the garment of our salvation. We cannot add one half of a penny to the riches that the Lord Jesus Christ can give poor sinners. Come buy gold tried in the fire. Some people think they have gold, but it's fool's gold. Fake gold, something that looks like gold, or maybe bad gold, where most of it is just impurities. It crackles as it burns in the fire. But this gospel counselor has gold tried in the fire. It's gone through the furnace, we could say, seven times. Any and all dross is gone because my Lord Jesus Christ himself went in the fire. The fire of God's wrath. Oh, he knows what it is that it's tried in the fire. He was in the fire himself. For whence he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That he might have gold for sinners, tried in the fire. He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that he might have gold for sinners through his precious blood. More precious, Peter says. His blood more precious than gold which perishes. Come, buy gold tried in the fire. I ask you tonight, have you heeded this counsel? Have you taken God at his word? Have you heeded his counsel when he says, buy of me gold? He doesn't say here, just admire the gold, look at the gold, hear about the gold, think about the gold. He says, buy. Don't rest till you have it, until it's yours by faith and only by faith. His faith unites to this rich bridegroom. He takes all our debts. He gives all his riches. Oh, congregation, he is himself the pearl of great price. And people of God, you know it. The gold isn't even so much what he gives, as blessed as that is, but it's who he is. He is more precious than rubies, and nothing can be compared to him. If I have him, I have everything that my soul could ever wish for. He's heaven's gold, come down to earth, so available, so free, so rich. Oh, a poor sinner can beg himself rich with this Jesus, with this Lord, with this counselor. Oh, my friend, buy gold. Buy gold. Sometimes you hear that in the world, don't you? Then the stock market is about to go down and people say, buy gold. Buy gold, oh my friend,
buy this gold, buy gold tried in the fire
by faith in Christ. Look unto him and be saved.
Fall upon him,
heed him, hear his voice today. But someone says, you know, gold sounds wonderful, but what I need just now, what I need today, I need a covering for my sin-sick soul, a covering for my naked soul. Well, my friend, listen, this counselor has more to say. Not just buy of me gold, but secondly, buy of me white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Well, congregation, when we were in Adam in paradise, we were not ashamed. It's hard to imagine that now, but in paradise, when we walked with God in the cool of the day, when there was nothing between us and God, when we knew God in righteousness and holiness, when we loved God with all that we were, with all that we had, with all that we thought. There was nothing between us. Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed, we read. But ever since we hearkened to the counsel, the deceitful counsel of Satan, there came such a distance between us and God, and such a misery in our souls, and such a shame over our lives and souls, that we instinctively knew we needed clothes. Adam and Eve didn't wait to be clothed with the coats of skin that the Lord later made for them. No, they sewed fig leaves to cover their nakedness. Instinctively, they knew they needed a covering. Many today cover themselves with opulent clothes, with the finest brand clothing. Young people, they'll spend so much for brand clothes. Shoes that you wonder if they're worth more than $5 or $10, cost $100, $200. Or I even hear young people, sports people who buy shoes for thousands of dollars. That's what man does. But friends, these things and so many other things too, they're just fig leaves. They're just material things that cannot cover our souls. Indeed, we must make use of clothing to cover our nakedness. The Bible prescribes it. It's a wonder that in our society people have lost a sense of shame and do not cover themselves more in a biblical way. But friends, here's a counselor who says, buy of me white raiment, the purest, the most spotless of clothes, so that before the all-seeing eye of God, you will not be exposed, you will not be uncovered, but you'll be covered. Buy of me white raiment, he says, that thou mayest be clothed, and that your nakedness might not appear. Congregation, have you tried to spin together some or other robe of legal righteousness in order to clothe you in the sight of God? I pray God that his eyes, which burn as a flame, that he would just burn all that to a crisp, and you would realize you need something more. You need something better. You need something that this counselor can give you. You need clothes, white raiment, pure, spotless garments. How willing the Lord is to clothe sinners with his own righteousness through Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said it himself. He said to his disciples, he said, consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, they spin not, they sow not, and yet God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow. He clothes the grass of the field with these wonderful lilies as a testimony that he can provide for the neediest of sinner, for the one who feels most unclean. How much more shall he not clothe you, O you of little faith? You see, congregation, in the fullness of time, from the glories, the splendors of heaven came one, the Son of God in our nature. He came and he was content to be born in this world, born of a woman, born under the law, to be laid in a manger, to have strips of cloth known as swaddling clothes wound around his limbs. He was willing to do that and to live his days in this sin-sick world where people mocked him and scoffed him and tore his robe off of him, even gambled his own clothes away. Imagine that. This one who was holy, harmless, and undefiled. He was willing to endure that. And if that were it, that man simply uncovered him, rendered him naked, that would be one thing. For then the fact that the sun hid its light for 3 hours would have been a mercy. But dear congregation, he appeared in the tribunal of God. And this spotless one, he was made to be sin. The God who sees no iniquity in his Jacob, he saw sin in his son, not because he had sinned, but he reckoned to him, he imputed to him, who was holy, harmless, and undefiled, he imputed sin to him. Imagine that. Sometimes we in life can be accused of things we didn't actually do, and if those are heinous crimes, we might be horrified by them. The fact that I would have been thought to have done even that, even though every sin lives in each of our hearts. But we could be horrified by some or other false accusation. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't. It wasn't so that sin lived in his heart and it was just merely some false accusation. But in the tribunal of God, he was made to be sin. The sins of all his people in every age were reckoned to him. The sin of this past week, child of God. You're too ashamed to even look up, confess. You blush at it. It was reckoned to him. He who knew no sin. He hung exposed before, between heaven and earth, for the tribunal of God. Such love. Oh, the depths of such love for sinners. Scarcely for a righteous man would anyone dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards sinners like you and like me. He was willing to hang naked, not just before men, but exposed before his Father as a sinner. No white raiment for him, reverently speaking. No reprieve. He bore the wrath of God for the sins of Laodicean sinners, in order that he could stand and say, I counsel thee, sinner, to buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. In other words, I have clothing for you, sinner. Pure, spotless clothing that once you wear it, heaven sees no sin in you. The great white throne sees no sin in you. The flaming eyes of Jehovah see no sin in you. That's how spotless, that's how white, that's how pure my righteousness is. One Puritan said it like this. He said, if Gabriel, the angel Gabriel would come to me and he would say to me, sinner that I am, you can have my angelic righteousness. He said, I would cast it from me. And I would say, I need the blood-bought righteousness of a surety, of a mediator, of the Son of God in my nature, or I am lost. An angel's garments might do for an angel, but for a sinner like me, I need a blood bridegroom to cover me with a purchased righteousness, with his blood-bought righteousness. Well, I ask you tonight, my friend, do you need this? Do you not know what it is? How blessed is he whose transgressions are freely pardoned, whose sin is wholly covered in the sight of heaven. How blessed is he to whom the Lord imputeth not our sin. What counsel? Could you ever imagine any counsel like that? Free counsel for you, sinner. Free clothing for you. Free gold. And so much so that once you have this, you can never lose it. And once you have it, Christ, God, can never demand again payment from you. Payment God cannot twice demand. First from my bleeding surety's hand, and then again from mine. O God is just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. But notice, congregation, what it says here. Buy of me. Buy of me raiment. Don't be content tonight to hear that there is raiment. And don't just assume that you have it simply because you sit in church and you hear gospel messages each and every Lord's Day. No, my friend, you must have it. There must be a transaction whereby you have it. How can that be? Congregation, do you know about that man who reached somehow into the heavenly banquet? And there came one and said, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? You see how important it is to have this wedding garment yourself, and to have it on, to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ yourself. How do I have it, you say? Well, come with all your sin. Come in all your nakedness before God, confessing all your sin, all your misdeeds, all your shortcomings, all your actual, all your original sin, all your sins of commission and sins of omission. Confess your best works as sin. Your righteousnesses as filthy rags. Put them all on a heap. All of them. And flee to Christ. Accept of his righteousness in the gospel. Submit to God's way of saving sinners. The Lord upbraids Israel. In Romans 11, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. They've thought to have their own righteousness. They've imagined that somehow I can come up with something. They've not submitted to the record that God has given regarding his Son, that he is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, my friend, then come in all your nakedness and poverty and sin. Don't first try to cleanse yourself. Don't first try to dress yourself. No, cast it all from you. Whatever Satan, whatever people, whatever your own heart puts before you, cast it from you and cry to God, clothe me with the righteousness of Christ that I might be clothed. Not the labor of my hands could fulfill thy law's demands. Could my tears forever flow? Nothing for sin could ever atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Oh, my friend, are you fleeing tonight? Tonight. Well, it is yet the day of grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Naked come to thee for dress. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. My friend, the Lord will not put you to shame. He cannot. He would not be God. Any sinner who comes to him on the basis of his word in the scriptures for sinners, he shall not be turned away. He'll be clothed from head to toe completely with this white raiment. And he'll say, she'll say, how can it be? How could it ever be that I should gain an interest, a saving interest in the blessed righteousness of Jesus Christ? Oh, my friend, this white raiment of Christ, it is exquisite, it is splendid, it is pure, it is sufficient, it is everything that you need for time and for eternity. Sinner, why don't you have it? Is there something lacking in the Lord, in his all-sufficient counselor? Or is it rather that you're trying to clothe yourself like the people of Isaiah 28 who found that the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it? My friend, if that's you, if as you seek to wrap yourself in your own resolutions, in your own righteousness, may God show you it's too short. It's too incomplete, so that you would cast it from you and say, clothe me with this righteousness of Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Do you know that? Do you hear that? The Lord has forged on Calvary the most beautiful clothing a sinner could ever imagine. It dazzles, it sparkles. No fuller on earth, no one skilled at washing could make anything so bright, so radiant, so splendid that the white throne of God would accept it. But there on Calvary, my Jesus, my Savior, he wove together the most perfect, spotless raiment. And he says, sinner, sinner, I counsel you to buy of me white raiment tonight, that you may be clothed and that your nakedness may not appear. Child of God, underneath this robe of righteousness, you're still a sinner, aren't you? If it were that this robe could be taken from you, you'd still be the awful sinner you always were. But here's the gospel. It can't and it won't be taken from you. You'll be clothed that your nakedness will not appear. All thanks and praise to God for such infinite wisdom. Oh, Lord, what counsel is this? What a counselor thou art. Indeed, wonderful counselor. My unconverted friend here tonight, before I leave my second point, hear this again. I counsel thee to buy of me white raiment. That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. My friend, that's what you need. And without that, your nakedness will appear, spiritually speaking. It is serious, it is solemn. You know, in the day of days, unless the Lord has mercy on your soul, unless you fly to Christ and flee to Him for refuge, you will call for the mountains to fall on you and for the rocks to hide you from the wrath of Him that sitteth upon the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. But you know what? Mountains won't be able to hide you, and rocks will not cover you, because the blazing holiness of a triune God will find you out, will find you and expose you. And there you'll be. Nothing but the righteousness of Christ will avail poor sinners. Oh, flee for that tonight. And you will find that it more than avails also for you. And you'll find that the Lord has more yet, but we will hear about it after we sing 222. 222, 4, 5, excuse me, 4, 6, and 7. O my people, hear my pleadings. Oh, that thou wouldst hearken now. 222, 4, 6, and 7. Christ's counsel to sinners regarding gold, regarding raiment, and now finally regarding ISAF. Have you ever heard the expression, the market day of the soul? In former times, they used to talk about the Lord's day as the market day of the soul. Now, you know, in old times, they used to go to market certain day of the week, and really, if you were a tradesman, you would probably go from market to market and sell your wares or buy your wares. And the Bible gives us the liberty 6 days in the week to trade in our calling. But on the Lord's Day, we have the market day of the soul. Are you here for your soul? Are you here to buy for your soul in the way that we've described before? Are you after spiritual gold and spiritual raiment and spiritual ISAF? Well, in the gospel, all these things are here and they're freely here. But do you come with a spirit to desire these things, to buy these things? See, many, they trade all week long in business. And then when it comes to the market day of the soul, they just sit. There's never a transaction. They have need of nothing, like we heard this morning. They're all set. My friend, if that's you, you've just proved that you need this third thing of hope which we hope to hear. You need eyesight because you're blind. You don't see what you need. You think you don't need anything, but here the counselor says, I counsel thee to buy of me eye salve, that you might see. Scholars tell us that in Laodicea, among other things, they were famous for medicinal schools where some had developed even what was called a Phrygian powder that you could put on your eyes, and if your eyes were growing dim, it could help you somewhat. Phrygian powder. And they would spread this on their eyes, and they could be able to see maybe slightly better or for slightly longer as they were maybe getting blind. And maybe the people who were hearing this letter being written to them from the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe that very week they had been in that medicinal school and they had asked for powder for their eyes, for eye salve, to help them see better. And he says, I counsel thee to buy of me eye salve, that you might see. In other words, you have something far better. You have something that can give you spiritual eyesight, something that can open your blind eyes and see things as they truly are. My friend, do you know anyone who received that eye salve? Children, maybe you remember Bartimaeus. There he was, by the side of the road, begging. And he heard that Jesus of Nazareth came by. Well, this man needed eye salve, didn't he? He needed to be made to see, and so he cried. He cried the louder, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And when the Lord Jesus Christ stood still and had him brought unto him, and these blind eyes, as it were, in front of the Lord Jesus, couldn't see anything. And yet there was faith in his soul, because later on the Lord says, Thy faith has made thee whole. But unable to see, Jesus said to him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? There's the counselor. He stooped so low. What is it out of this treasure house of mine, Bartimaeus, that you so desperately need? And Bartimaeus says, that I might see. In other words, gracious counselor, apply some eye salve to my eyes. Give me some of this eye salve that I might see. And the Lord Jesus Christ healed him, and he saw. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked full in his wonderful face. The things of earth grew so very dim. No wonder he followed Jesus in the way. He had to stay with his Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Still closer to thy side I press, for near thee all is well. He needed the Lord. And so many others experienced this as well. That man born blind in John chapter 9, there he was. The Lord Jesus Christ, he spit on the earth and he made some mud and he put it on his eyes. You'd say, that makes things worse. He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. This man finds his way. Maybe he asks, maybe he searches. There he goes to the pool of Siloam, takes the water in his eyes. And the mud comes out and he looks around him. He sees Isaac. Saul of Tarsus, a man who had never seen spiritually one iota in his life. Lord Jesus Christ rips open the veil of heaven and appears to him on the way to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul becomes blind. He falls down on the ground. Lord, who art thou? I don't know a thing. What wouldst thou have me to do? I don't know what to do. He's blind in every possible way. He's led by his men into a strait called street called Straight. 3 days later, Ananias comes, lays his hands upon his eyes, and he sees. His eye salve from the pharmacy of heaven, reverently speaking, from the Lord Jesus Christ applied to his eyes, and he sees. Do you know eye salve? You know the first day that you saw something of your sin? Something of the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a little, maybe. Just a little. Like you'd never seen it before. The Word of God, as it were, was real for the first time. And maybe you were plunged into the misery of, is it really this bad with me? Am I really such a sinner, as the Bible says? Your eyes were opened in a measure to your sin, but you started to long for something. And at some or other point, you caught a glimpse. Sometimes you wondered if it was even a glimpse. Sometimes it was there, and sometimes it seemed gone. But in the review, you couldn't have given this to yourself. At least, you hoped so. Buy of me eye salve, that you may see. Congregation, this eye salve of the Lord is for sinners. Don't be mistaken about it. It's not for some select group of sinners, some certain exercise sinners. It's not for sinners who have gone through this and gone through that and made their way through this hoop and that hoop and that know this and that know that. No. Lord Jesus Christ speaks here to Laodicean sinners who are still rejecting him, who still think they're all set, who think they have need of nothing, and the Lord comes and he says, I counsel thee, you Laodiceans, in all your wretched self-delusion, I counsel thee, buy of me eye salve, that you may see. Oh, my friend, when once you have just a drop of that eye salve, yes, you see your lack. Yes, you see your sin. Yes, you see your misery. Yes, you see your guilt. Yes, you start to see some of the darkness you never imagined was over your life, but you also start to see something. You start to see the Sun of Righteousness arising with healing in its wings, like Christians. Canst thou see in yonder distance a bright light? He strains his eyes. He doesn't see much. He says, I think so. I think maybe just a dot, a speck on the horizon. You see, the eye salve is working. That's what heaven's eye salve does. It may take longer, it may go shorter, but this eye salve is so very powerful. Oh, my friend, and for that the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary. You see all these benefits, this gold, this raiment, this eye salve. It's all out of Calvary. Don't you see, sinner, here tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking from Calvary, as it were, in the gospel. His arms stretched out wide, and he's saying, oh, sinner, I have everything that you could ever wish for. I have it, and I have it for sinners. Only confess thine iniquity. Why, my friend? Why is it so hard? Is it maybe this, that you can't own up to the name sinner? You're still such a strong person, still such a wise person. It's for sinners. When you learn to say the name that the Bible gives you, you also learn to see and hear and say that other name that the Lord gives the Savior. Thou shalt call him Jesus, for he shall save sinners from their sins. Oh, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ draws so close, so near. In Christ's stead, I beseech you, be reconciled unto God. By gold, by raiment, by eye salve. You need it all, and it's all there. at Calvary for sinners. As we close this evening, congregation, 4 points, briefly. Refuse not him that speaketh. Refuse not this counsel. I've had people in my office, I've given them counsel, and I'm a poor counselor. Some of my counsel, based on the Word of God, may be good, but whatever is of self is bad. If you refuse my counsel, so be it. Well, my friend, do not refuse him that speaks tonight. Refuse not this counselor who comes so very close. He's so willing, he's so able, he's so perfect, he's so suitable, he's so precious, he's so lovely. He gives you the counsel you so desperately need. Don't neglect his counsel tonight. Thomas Boston says, the gospel is the last ship to Emmanuel's land. If you miss it, if you miss the gospel, you miss Emmanuel's land. This is the gospel. Come, buy of me gold, raiment, and eye salve. Secondly, don't imagine that this can wait. Friends, the market of sovereign grace is open. It's open today. I wish I could tell you it's open next Sunday as well. But I can't. We close the doors today. The market of sovereign grace may be over for you and for us all. We have no assurances of our life. And someone says here, but maybe I've waited too long. The gospel's been preached in my hearing from a child. I've resisted. I've sinned it all away. Maybe, like you say, it is done. Maybe for me it is done. Maybe for me it's closed. Oh, my friend, while he proffers peace and pardon, hear his voice today. Today, sinner, not tomorrow, not even yesterday, today. He speaks to these Laodiceans whose heart was as wicked as yours, who had delayed as much as you. He speaks, and he's real and he's true. And congregation, hear, lastly, hear his voice very personally. Did you notice the thee in our text? I counsel thee. That's singular. That's you. 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 It's all of us personally. He doesn't say here, I counsel you as a group. Though we wish that we would, indeed all of us, as one man, we would buy gold and raiment and eye salve. But it's personal. You. Whatever the person next to you does or doesn't do, it's you. I counsel thee to buy of me. It's forceful, friend. There's no wiggle room. There's no escaping. If you're a sinner, he's speaking to you. If you're a Laodicean sinner, he's speaking to you. I counsel thee. I counsel thee to buy of me. O congregation, don't end up on a hospital bed with your limbs in casts, and surgeons and doctors with worried, anxious looks looking at you, while your heart monitor turns to nothing. To wake up in hell, not having bought gold tried in the fire, raiment to clothe you, and Isaac. One thing is for sure, in hell, you'll wish for a gospel sermon. Just one. To hear one more time the gospel. I counsel thee to buy, to hear it, and to heed it. Like the rich man, one drop. Today, buy. And you will never, my sinner friend, you'll never be disappointed. Amen. Gracious God, what infinite mercy that thou would stoop so low. We have often offended thee. And thou hast so much to give, so much to give away freely to sinners. Oh, wretched unbelief. Lord, drive it away. Help us to cry like Bartimaeus until we see. Help us to come with all our nakedness until we're clothed with thy righteousness, Lord Jesus. And help poor sinners tonight to buy gold and to beg themselves rich on the market of free grace, and pardon our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we sing in conclusion 365, From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. 365, all the stanzas. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you forever. Amen.